God unto you today. I don't know about you, but fellas, I saw some of you last night about 10 o'clock. Myers. Kevin, don't pretend you weren't there, man. I saw you right there. You were holding down the card section last night. Let me see if I got this straight, right? So I asked my wife, Bridget, what do you want from us? What can I help the boys do? Because here's what you can do for me for months. You can just take the kids and leave. I'd like you to come back, but not right away. Just give me a day to myself. Ladies, any other ask for something like that? No. Here's what I discovered, though, is come Father's Day, here's what's going to happen. Jeff, I really think you should spend the whole day with your boys. Welcome to worship here today. We are glad you're here. Of all the places you could be, you made your way here today, and for that we are grateful. If you're here with your mom today, thank you for coming and sitting with her and honoring her and being present to her and with her. We are so glad to have you with us. I just have a couple of announcements for the good of the community. Next Sunday, hey, I want to invite you to stick around after church next Sunday. Next Sunday, our youth are going to need your help getting to go on their mission trip. Our youth are going to Cincinnati on a mission trip because Lord knows Ohio needs all the help they can get. Right? Ohio needs all the help they can get. They're going to go to Cincinnati. They're going to be doing some home repair. They're going to be working in food banks. They're going to be helping out with kids. Mission trips are one of those faith-forming, life-changing moments for young people. And we want to help them next Sunday and make sure that their mission trip is successful. So you can stay after church next Sunday. We are having a special the kids fair, family fair going on. There'll be food, there'll be refreshments, there's going to be games. One of the things that's going to be happening is dunk tanks. I'll be in the dunk tank. Caleb will be in the dunk tank. And we have a little contest to see which one of us you don't like the most. And so we're going to do that. But come and stick around next Sunday. It's $25 a family suggested donation. But just come and support our kids so they can get on this mission trip this summer. Second thing I want to let you know about is this Tuesday, mark your calendars. You'll be around here at 7 p.m. We're having a special town hall meeting. We've been together for the last 10 months, and a lot's going on. Lots changing and shaping here at Royal Oak First. So we want to make sure that you kind of abreast of all the cool things that are happening with our programming, with our staff, and most importantly, with our renovation project. So this Tuesday, 7 o'clock, meet us down in the fellowship hall. We'll be there. We have a presentation to tell you all the stuff that's happening, get some of our questions asked and answered about our renovation project, and then we're going to get ice cream. Good deal, right? So come and be a part of that. Third thing I want to make sure you know is this is Saturday, May 20th at 9:20, our One Fellowship group is hosting former senior pastor Mike Seymour will be presenting on his trip to Liberia. And Liberia has a children's home where 70 children, all who lost their parents to treatable disease in most places of the world, have the benefits of 70 children's home there, just like our Methodist children's home here in Redford. Mike's going to come and tell us about that ministry there and invite us to come and be a part of that. You can come hear all about that this week. And finally, our friends at the Hill Gap Run are here. Francis, where are you? There they are. They're going to be downstairs today to sign up. Yes. Thank you. All right, guys, come on in. Squeeze in a little bit here. Pretend you like each other for a minute, right? Come on in, Matthew. It's all right. All right, guys, I need your help. What are we celebrating this weekend? It's Mother's Day. Okay, here's what I need. Quickly, I need you to tell me one really cool thing about your mom. Zach, what's really cool about your mom? She's pretty funny. Yeah, I like her. I like her. How about you, Matthew? Your mom's a really good runner. Yeah, good. Yeah. She's your mom. What do you like about her?
She makes you stuff.
That's a good. She makes you food. That's a good thing. Kenneth, what about your mom? You don't know. You can tell her later. Okay. All right. How about your mom? She's good at math.
Head out to program it back to the parents. The deepest longing of our hearts is to be embraced by love. As we confess our struggles and our longings, may we let peace speak to us and make us whole. Join me as we pray together, saying, God of silence and seas, we make waves rather than calm storms. We will find it easier to push people out of the boat than to make room for those who are different from us. Our lives are a whirlwind of activity, and we miss your presence in silence. Thank you for your mercy, God of patience. Save us from drowning in oceans of fear and doubt. Give us the words to speak of your hope to others. Fill our hearts with the love of Jesus Christ, which is dearer to us than we dare imagine. We are forgiven. Our life is restored, and grace has become our guide. Thanks be to God, we are not alone, but we take heart in the forgiving love of our God. Amen. God of community, unite us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to continue in that spirit of prayer. Come prepared to receive our offerings here today. The second Sunday of the month here at Royal Oak First is Mission Sunday. It's a Sunday when we highlight one of the ways that sure giving helps support mission. There's two ways that you give on Mission Sunday. One is with your regular tithe and offering. The second is with the mission envelope, the green envelope that you find in your bulletin today. That's that extra offering. I invite you today to hear about one of the ways that this church is making a difference in the life of this congregation and in the life of the world. I invite Jenny Noder Antonio to come on up here. She's the chair of our co-chair of our missions ministry. She's going to tell you about the exciting things that are happening at Cass Community Social Services, a place that's near and dear to our heart. And as she tells you that story, I just want you to know that today your gifts literally are changing.
Good morning. We are so happy to support Cass Community Social Services as one of our very important mission partners. We have a special connection to Cass through their executive director, Reverend Faith Fowler, who grew up in this church. And we're looking forward to expanding this relationship, including giving our congregation more opportunities to volunteer there. They love and depend on volunteers for everything they do. Cass is dedicated to fighting poverty in Detroit in four main areas: food, housing, including the Tiny Homes Project, healthcare, and jobs. Today, I'm going to highlight two specific initiatives that we can get involved with, and that is green industries and tiny homes. Cass has always known that to really have an impact on poverty, people need to find jobs. To address this need, they started Green Industries in 2007 during the recession, focused on creating jobs for people who would otherwise have significant barriers to employment. People with mental illnesses, physical restrictions, or who have experienced homelessness, war, or prison. Along with an income, they're provided with dignity and independence. Profits from the green industries help expand the workforce as well as support other programs that Cass offers. So what can we do? It's easy. Consider buying some of their green industry products, such as the mud mats, sandals, keychains, and hanging planters, which are all made from thousands of illegally dumped tires that they collect all over Detroit. To date, they've collected over 90,000 tires. The mats, sandals, and keychains all have the Old English D embossed on them. And the mats come in, they have them in stock in the U of M colors, the MSU colors, and solid colors or black, so you can pick your colors. And I have one at my house, and they're great. They also have the coaster sets, which feature Detroit and Michigan-themed photos. And the coaster sets are manufactured using recycled glass from a Detroit glass factory and reclaimed wood from raised homes in Detroit for the containers. Also, Faith Fowler has written two books. This one is called This Far by Faith, chronicling her 20 years at Cass. And it's awesome. She's a very good writer as well as a very good speaker. And you can order those books. And she has a new book coming out about the tiny homes called Tiny Homes in a Big City. And you can order both of those books. So please take some time down in Fellowship Hall after the service to stop by the Here I Am Lord table. Look at some of these items. You can purchase them or you can fill out an order form if we run out of the items. And we're going to go down and pick up items and have them available in the next couple weeks. Okay, the second ministry real quick I want to highlight involves the tiny homes. Faith Fowler began this project last year to help meet the housing needs of Detroit in a very unique way. The program works like this. Each resident will pay $1 per square foot in monthly rent. And the tiny homes range from 250 to 400 square feet. So they are designed for one person or a couple if they're a very loving couple. They are required to attend a monthly class on home ownership and managing their finances. And then at the end of 7 years, if they've kept up their rent payments and their requirements for the monthly class, they own the home. And at that time, they take over the payments for taxes and utilities, which are very affordable. This unique program has garnered attention from groups all across the country interested in copying this program in their own city. Currently, there is one completed tiny home. This is a picture of the one that they're using as a model. And six more are scheduled for completion by Memorial Day, and they're going to build them in batches of six. And contractors are providing all the required skilled labor, but all the remaining finished work is being provided by volunteer teams. And that is where we come in. We are committed to sending a team to help do this work next Saturday, May 20th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We really need people to sign up and volunteer for this. There's no skills required. You just need a willingness to lend a hand. Bob Berard is our contact person for this. His information is in the happenings page of your bulletins. If you can help out, please give Bob a call, or you can stop by the Here I Am Lord table and sign up on the sign-up sheet. Another way you can support this project is to buy a ticket for their progressive dinner and tour, which is on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of Memorial Weekend, May 25th through the 27th. This fundraiser is $100 per couple, and you select your start time anytime between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on any of those 3 days. And you get a 1 hour time slot, and you spend 10 minutes in each of the six newly completed tiny homes. And you also enjoy a course prepared by Cass Catering, so you end up with a 6-course meal. And you go home with the other book that Faith wrote, The Tiny Homes in a Big City. So thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you.
In the Gospel of John, after the resurrection, Jesus stays and teaches his disciples for a while. Near the end of this farewell discourse, Jesus prays to God for his followers after he is gone with these words: "I'm not praying only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their word. I pray they will be one, God, just as you are in me and I am in you. I pray that they also will be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, so that they can be one, just as we are one. I'm in them, and you are in me, so that they will be made perfectly one. Then the world will know that you sent me, and that you have loved them, just as you have loved me." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I call her before after important decisions are made. And yes, I call it when there is nothing important to say except, hey. And yes, I call her on her birthday. And yes, I call her on my birthday. And yes, once I call her on your birthday. Sure, calling her while you were blowing out the candles was probably not the best of timing, but you have got to understand that I am the man I am because of the woman she was. And though her corporate climb never took her any higher than a secretary's desk, she dispensed neighborhood greatness with the fortress of her open palms, offering sanctuary to the lost boys and forgotten girls who would have otherwise fallen through the open cracks of our small town sidewalks. My mama did not wear her Jesus around her neck, but on her sleeve, showing me what it meant to live in and to stand for peace. And I sat next to her bed while the med techs would swab the inside of her arm, waiting and hoping that they would get the vein to pop, praying that they would find it on the first try. And in those 2 short weeks, you taught me everything of what it meant to hold on and let go all at the same time. So baby, it is with all sincerity that I say this to you. Hang this sign on my heart and read its truth. If you lived here, you'd be home by now. So welcome. Come on in. Just know that my mother is 1/3 of my smile. She is 3/5 of my compassion. She is the lion's share of my courage. Learn to live with it. You've got to love it because you can't change it. So just learn to embrace it, because I am proud to say that I am my mom's boy. Are there any other mama's boys out there today? Now, I just want to make sure that we're clear. You know the other woman in this story is my mom. I did this poem at another church, and I got 4 letters to my bishop. So, I just want to make sure that we're absolutely clear that the other woman is my mother, okay? Today is Mother's Day. We celebrate our mamas today, and if I had time, all we could do today is pass the microphone around, and you could stand up and you could tell us about your mom. And I know the stories would take all day, and there wouldn't be enough time or enough Kleenex to pay honor to these women who have changed and challenged our lives. Since we don't have time to do it for all, let me, in the telling of my mother's story, may it honor the telling of your mother's story as well. It's my pleasure to introduce you to Kathy Ann Nelson. Kathy Ann Nelson was born on November 23rd, 1947. She is the 3rd of 6 children born to Virgil and Bernice Kaiser. She was born at home in a small little farmhouse in Birch Creek, Wisconsin. That's Birch Creek, not Birch Creek. She's a farm girl, poor, dirt poor. My grandparents didn't own their own land, so they farmed other people's land. The family story is that sometime after the youngest of my uncles was born, Dick, the 6th of those children, sometime in that first year, the family house caught on fire and it burned to the ground, and all 6 of those children needed to be scattered among the other relatives, some living as far as 1 to 1.5 hours away, some of them living away for 18 months to 2 years in order to rebuild their family. She attended one-room schoolhouses from kindergarten all the way through 8th grade, and she graduated in 1964 from Lake Holcomb High School in the largest graduating class they had ever had, 18 people. She fell in love with local farm kid Dennis Nelson, and after his return from a 4-year enlistment in the United States Air Force, they married on July 1st, 1967. My mother worked in the typing pool to put my father through college. My father's bachelor degree, the first bachelor degree ever earned in that Nelson family line. They had 2 boys, my brother Doug and her favorite me. She was a devoted mother. multiple jobs throughout her life to support our family. For a time, she ran an in-home daycare. She was a typesetter at the local newspaper. There was a time when she worked the midnight shift at the local drill bit factory. Her last job was an administrative assistant at the state agency on adoption and foster care. I had a paper route from third grade to eighth grade, and I'll tell you what, my mother was the best assistant paper deliverer ever in history. She was a faithful member of the First United Methodist Church in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. She taught my first grade Sunday school class. She taught me how to say the Lord's Prayer. And she loved to collect blankets for the Church World Service blanket drive. She made great meatloaf. She made awesome chili. She made the best chocolate chip cookies I have ever tasted. She loved to crochet. She could beat anybody at Wheel of Fortune. Her favorite television show was Touched by an Angel, and she cried every time it came on. And her favorite hobby at night would be to read box loads of those cheesy Harlequin romance novels. She died suddenly and tragically at the age of 51 after a two-week battle with leukemia. I remember her last words to me. You see, when I left the hospital room that first time, got the diagnosis, came back from Detroit to see my mom in the hospital, everything was saying, "You've got this." So when I left the hospital room, I had no idea that it would be the last time I would ever see my mother off of life support. And so her last words to me were, "Jeff, there's extra cereal in the basement. Please make sure you take 3 or 4 boxes back with you to Detroit." It's Mother's Day, the day we honor our moms. So how do we honor these women in our lives on Mother's Day? The culture says the only way to honor them is to spend some money on them. You know what the average mother is going to get spent $176.63 today? And Bridget, I'm sorry that you bring the average down a fair bit. $792 million spent on cars today. $2.9 billion spent on flowers, $4 billion spent on restaurants, $7 billion spent on jewelry today. All in an attempt to say to my mom, "Thank you. I love you. You've changed my life." And so since my mom is gone and I can't spend any money on her today, the only way I have left to honor her is to continue to live by the single greatest lesson that I think my mother ever taught me. You see, my mother's lesson to me and to my brother was plain and it was simple. In our house, in the Nelson house, at the Nelson table, in our lives, everybody was welcome. Everybody was welcome in the Nelson home. She taught us that no matter who a person was, every person, every single person was worthy of love, respect, and compassion. And that's why the guest room was often open and available to anyone who needed a place to stay. In my sophomore and junior year, it was often occupied by my high school friend Jeremy Monk. Here's Jeremy's story. In third grade, Jeremy's dad died. And so his mom remarried, so he had a stepdad. 3 years later, Jeremy's mom died. And then his dad remarried, so he had a stepmom. Jeremy was being raised by two step-parents. Jeremy always wondered if he really belonged, if anybody really loved him. In high school, when puberty and teenage years are enough to handle, there were times Jeremy simply could not stay in his home, and so Jeremy slept almost every weekend for a year and a half in my parents' guest room. He was welcome there. And there was Charlie, the boy who lived around the corner, the only Native American family in the neighborhood. Charlie would often be at the back door knocking on it, asking if my dad could come out and play. Charlie played catch with my dad, and afterwards my mom would always have chocolate chip cookies mom's funeral, saying that sometimes it's only the memory of your mom that helps me remember that I am worth it, and one day I'm going to get my life together. And it'll be because of the compassion your parents showed me. Or I think of Audie and Frida, the two Norwegian widows who lived in our neighborhood. Their names really were Audie and Frida, people. You can't make that up. Right? We'd be over at their house all the time. My parents played more hands of pinochle with those two ladies than they did anything else. They took those two women into our lives, and they became our surrogate grandmothers. And they just opened their house to any and all who needed a place to be. I'll tell you, the maddest my mother ever got at me is when she caught me and some of the neighborhood boys harassing the elderly special needs couple at the end of the block. We weren't doing anything that boys didn't usually do to anybody, but my mother let us have it. She let me have it. She was never more ashamed of my actions than that. Trust me, I did some things that were worthy of other shaming later in life. But she was never more mad at me. And when she found us picking on some of the most vulnerable people in our neighborhood and community, my mother simply would not have it, because at her house, in her presence, all were welcome. You know, I think there's just something about moms that get that. I think you moms get it. Maybe it's because you carried us around for 9 months. And so you know that every kid, no matter what their age, is somebody's kid. And at some point in time, somebody held them and looked at them with love. And so you moms can't stand it when you find somebody who's getting picked on or taking advantage of. It's you mothers who stand up and say, hands off of that kid. That might not be my kid, but that's somebody's kid. So moms, thank you for reminding us that every kid is somebody's kid. And if they aren't somebody's kid, then they're always going to be your kid. Our scripture today came from John 17. John 17 is probably my favorite passage in the entire New Testament. I love that passage. It probably wasn't until I studied it in preparation for this sermon that I realized why I love that scripture so much. It's because Jesus sounds an awful lot like Captain Nelson in that sermon. You see, this is Jesus' prayer for us. His prayer for us 2,000 years ago. This is what he prayed for you and for me. Jesus was praying that we, his people, his church, the place that would bear his name, Jesus prayed that we would be one. 3 times in 3 verses, Jesus says it over and over again. When they look at my people, will they know that they are one? It's almost as if he was at Bridget Nelson, or at Captain Nelson's table as well. Listen to Jesus pray for us again. God, I ask not only on behalf of these, my friends, but also on behalf of all of those who believe in me through their word, God, and my prayer for them is that they might be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they might be one, as we are one. I and them and you and me, that we are completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and that you have loved them, even as you have loved me. Jesus prayed that when people looked at us, at this movement that carries his name, when they would look at us, the divine characteristic of his people would be that when they look at us, they would see one. They would see us as unified. They would know that when they look at this place, that all people are welcome in this place. Think of all the things Jesus could have prayed for his church 2,000 years ago. And think of the things that we as the church often pray and ask God for us. They are not the things that Jesus prayed for us 2,000 years ago. Jesus did not pray, God, when they look at my church, may it be big. And think of how often the church's prayer is, God, make us big. Jesus said, no, make us one.
Amen.
So Some factions of the church would believe that Jesus prayed, God, make my church liberal, make my church conservative, make my church Methodist, make my church Lutheran, make my church Catholic, make my church Presbyterian. No, Jesus said, make my church one. Church, Jesus didn't pray, make sure my church has really awesome screens. An awesome website. They can do all these cool things on their phone, and they got the two sexiest pastors in the neighborhood. Right? Your prayers have been answered. But not Jesus. Jesus simply prayed that we would be one. So maybe this Mother's Day, I want to honor my mom like this because I have come to believe at no other time in my young life has we need to declare that there are places where all people are welcome more, and we need to declare them right now. Because the world is trying to divide us and convince us that we are enemies with each other. My beloved, our beloved United Methodist Church stands on the brink of splintering because we cannot figure out what it means to say all are one. There's nothing more in the world than I want to declare in the name of my beloved mother and my beloved Lord and Savior that all are welcome in this place. First and foremost for you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are welcome here.
Amen.
That you are. That every single one of you is welcome here. In God's place, in God's community, He has a spot for you right now. And when you begin to realize that you are welcome here, then it's so much easier to say to the person sitting next to you, God, if they welcome me, they probably welcome Mike here. When we fear that we're not welcome, that it becomes hard to welcome others. So let me just say it. You're welcome here. God welcomes you here. Into His house, at His table, just like Kathy Nelson would welcome you at hers. Maybe it's because there was a time in my life when my mom had to rely on the welcome of others. That time when the house burned down, they didn't know where they would go. Maybe it's because someone took her in and protected her when she was most vulnerable that she spent the rest of her life making sure that the most vulnerable in our midst always had a place to stay. If the church has ever been that kind of place for you, then help it become that kind of place for somebody else. We really believe here at Royal Oak First that God has given us a vision to be the most welcoming church in the neighborhood. And so we've been talking about what it's going to mean to be a welcoming church. And so we say, hey, we're going to be a church that wears his name tag so everybody gets to know people's name. We're going to be a church that has greeters at every door so everyone gets a handshake. We're going to develop valet parking so that people don't have to search all over to find a parking spot. We're going to put out good coffee. Amen? We're going to put that out. But I'll tell you what, all of those gimmicks will fall absolutely flat if people don't walk in the door and say, hey, I can belong here. At the heart of hospitality is this invitation to each and every person who walks through the door. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Praise God.
In my 10 short months here at Royal Oak First, I have been reminded over and over and over again that the spirit of welcome and inclusion actually makes a difference, that it saves lives. This week I have had the honor and privilege of talking with several families in our midst who have been searching and looking for a church where their family could be welcome. Because each of these families is place is happy to see them when they show up. Not every place says, we will make a spot for you and for your kid. And so what an honor and privilege it was to talk to these families who believe because of the way you have accepted not just them, but their kid, that they have a home here. So instead of me telling you their story, I'll let them tell it to you.
Well, the movement with Faith Abilities is welcoming everybody in the community to our church who may have special needs.
We're all in the St. Jude. We're here to help. We're here to welcome these people with special needs, and it can be adults or children.
If you're looking for a church home and you're afraid of how people are going to respond to you, don't worry about that here. Everybody is really kind.
Our church is home. A lot of other churches are not. A lot of other people that I've known that go to other churches or parishes, they close. And we seem to be adding membership, and that's a wonderful thing.
When I came here, I just got a vibe from you that it's okay, it's okay. And you told me, it's okay, it's okay. And the people around here, around the church family, have been supportive. And it's changing my life, and now it's going to start changing his life.
So we've already started Balance Ministry, which is a great way to create spirit helpers to help them participate in Sunday school, and we'll have more of those as we have more kids and adults with special needs.
Now that it's, you know, we see and we've gotten to meet so many people here that are coming and that have, you know, those needs that they want to have, you know, their family be included as part of that. It's, you know, it's bigger than us, but it's important because you don't run into a lot of places that where inclusion, where it, you know, is part of special needs, is really a part of, you know, a church program. And so there's a few, but it's what's their home.
It is a no hush, no shock church, so be comfortable. If your child needs to pace or stand up or make noises, it's okay. And nobody's gonna give you a look or a stare and not gonna judge you.
Pray, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions. If there's something you don't understand, some behavior that you're seeing that seems strange, or it's okay. I'm not gonna be offended. I think any of the other parents are gonna be offended. Believe me, I'm gonna ask some really off the wall questions. So, you know, he's just another little person that needs to be accepted. And, you know, whatever you do, make you feel comfortable. Make yourself feel comfortable around him.
You need to learn how to work around your child, not the other way around. Autistic children don't conform to the world. They try to get by and they try to resist it, but for the most part, you need to learn to work around them. It makes life easy and it gets rid of a lot of frustration.
He can be very funny and silly. He's kind of his own world. Probably comes across to most people as standoffish, but I think it's because he's not comfortable in our world. And he's loving, which I think most people don't get to see, which really makes me sad. He's the light of my life, for sure. He's smarter and he's brave. Well, I was scared like crazy when we got that diagnosis, but if I could give him a Pilsaro, there's something very unique and special, something very dainty about him, and I really want to listen.
I think it is always going to be hard. It's never going to be challenge-free. Just as your child grows, the challenges will change. But having a good support system like Rofam and Faith, I mean, if I didn't have God in my life, I would.
in our house.
Thanks. On the day when I can't buy you a card anymore, I couldn't make sure.